Spin bonds.
Etherealki, materialki, corporalki, people lusting over Ben Barnes, people just here for the crows, and everyone else. This is Vassals of Kingsgrave, and we will be discussing the Netflix series Shadow and Bone, based on the novels by Leigh Bardugo. My name is Michal. I go by Ink as Rain on the Discord and formerly the forums, the former rooms. And today I'm joined by Adam.
Hey, this is Adam, also known as Drown Sound.
Amber.
This is Amber. Amber Rocks.
We've also got Jock.
Jock Munlow.
And Matt.
Hey, it's Matt, and I am indeed only here for the crows.
Shadow and Bone hit Netflix, widely or heavily anticipated in the young adult community, because that is where Lee's books are obviously very, very, very popular, and a kind of an ongoing and still developing series of plots and different little series and collections of books. But yeah, I was really interested to see how people who hadn't read the books, because I've read pretty much everything, responded to the series, and also how other people who read the books responded to the series. So has anyone else read the books? That could be either the Shadow and Bone trilogy or any of the books therein, or the Six of Crows trilogy, duology, or any of the books therein.
Are you telling me that these aren't finished?
They're sort of finished. They're ongoing, but they are complete stories as they are.
Acceptable.
So has anyone else read any of the books in the Grisha world? Nope, just me. Okay, cool.
I guess not. I mean, yeah, maybe Tanya did, but she's not here at the moment.
Yeah, we were supposed to have Tanya Silens, but she is busy. So just Amber and I are representing the females, and we are once again outnumbered.
I did look up the plot summaries just to, you know, see if I actually wanted to watch the show in the first place, but you know, I haven't read them, nor will I, because they're first person and young adult. So
I would read the Six of Crows trilogy, duology. I don't know why I keep saying trilogy. Those are actually really good. That's my general. I mean, the Shadow and Bone books are good too, especially for YA, but they definitely are more typical YA fare, with the first person and with the kind of the focus being on like romance and love triangles and stuff like that. The Six of Crows books are just like a magical heist, and they're really quite awesome. I definitely recommend them. So how do people feel about the series?
I loved it 5 times. I don't know what that means.
You watched it 5 times? Oh my God.
No, I guess that does sound like I watched it 5 times.
Okay.
No, that'll be Loki. Sorry. No, what 5 things?
Oh, should we rate with Milo's? Milo's,
yeah. I loved it. All the goats. So many goats.
I'd say it was overall fairly positive on it. I probably have to grade a little bit on a curve based on kind of the Marvel stuff I've been watching, which I definitely, you know, liked more, and I've been given those like 4s, so I would say, you know, 3, 3.5 for this.
Yeah, I'd give it like 3.5 shirtless Ben Barnes. I mean, I feel like I watched the first episode or so, and I kind of wasn't really, maybe like an episode and a half, and I was like, I don't really know what this is. Like when it first dropped, I was like half paying attention, and then it didn't quite grab me. I had to come back to it later after some people at work were talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay. And then it worked.
Yeah, I'll give it maybe 3 out of 5. I don't feel like they handled the racism allegory show that well.
Yeah, that was a big thing. We can definitely discuss that upcoming. Yeah, for me, I don't know. I felt very mixed about it. I was super, super hyped, because I am a real fan of the books. And it felt more paint by numbers than I expected it to, but I'd probably still give it like 3.5 goats to a 4. I do think, you know, it looks quite nice. I do think the acting is really good. Hopefully some of the stuff that annoyed me will like fade away with the set. I'm very excited for the second season. It has been picked up for a second season, and I am excited to see where they go with that.
I actually changed to 4.7 goats.
I got
excited there, but then because now that I've finished it, I miss watching it. But now that I think about it, I guess not quite all the goats. Four-legged goat.
That's still very close. I mean, that's a very just, high rating.
Just so it's on the record.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely left me wanting more, and I felt like, oh, like it ended kind of abruptly. I was like, oh, no, keep going.
My actual main question is, were people who hadn't read the books confused? Because, honest to God, I was confused at certain points, and that's probably for different reasons. But I'm curious how people absorbed, like, a ton of world building that is quite complex and both magical and political and, you know, in compacted into a very short space of time.
Yeah, I was confused in one aspect. And I wonder if this is what it was like to watch Game of Thrones without having read the books first. Mm-hmm. It was mainly the geography and the political stuff of like basically all the other countries that were outside the main one that we were in. Ravka, I think it's called. Not being able to like look at a map annoys me. I just thought they really didn't do the greatest of jobs kind of setting up just the various political kind of relations between the various countries and who's at war and who's not and all that stuff. Which I would say mainly impacted some of the stuff with the girl who was on the boat, what, like Nina or something?
Nina, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that happens there at the end that, like, if you didn't make an effort, you don't know. Right, exactly, to, like, look it up or anything. Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Those were kind of, like, the main areas where I wish they could have done better, especially as someone who really focuses in on that world-building stuff that I like to know as much as possible.
Once again, in that case, I recommend Six of Crows.
Confused at all. But then I tend to not be super detail-oriented. I just sit there and happily enjoy the Ben Barnes of it all. And then, you know, there wasn't anything that I don't know if I just wasn't deeply enough invested or, but I was just sort of happy to watch and whatever. And if I had questions, I don't remember them by now.
I think that sounds like a very healthy approach to it, frankly.
I mean, it makes it easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel my confusion actually came from a lot of the timeline where the story with the crows in the books happens after the entire trilogy with Alina's story. So it was very confusing to sort of recalibrate and figure out where they actually were. And, you know, my brain kept kind of rejecting what I was seeing because I was like, but that doesn't happen. And I was like, chill. Like, not in a bad way that I didn't like it, but in a just very hard to kind of make all the math work.
It's like they got Reese's in your peanut butter or they got chocolate in your peanut butter sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, but then on a rewatch, it was actually much easier because I kind of was more... I got what they were doing and where we were with these characters as opposed to where we are in the books. But yeah, it is also, I mean, there are a lot of locations and a lot of them that sound similar. So I was just, I was interested to see how people dealt with that. What would people say were their favorite parts of Shadow and Bone? I feel like we're going to get a lot of similar answers, but that is fine.
I mean, I can start just because, you know, I was serious when I said I wouldn't watch this show if the Six of Crows weren't included. You know, when I was looking up like plot and stuff, it was the main reason, you know, why I decided to end up going with it. So that's, you know, they're definitely some of the highlights, you know, although Alina and Ben Barnes stuff is not, it's not bad by any stretch. It was better than I was expecting, frankly. And I appreciated how quickly they moved through it. And this happens a lot, I feel like, in fantasy stories where you gotta start off very small for newcomers into the series for the first season. But I thought they did a good job of kind of just moving through all the basic perfunctory stuff to set up a fairly exciting second season. Because basically they seem to have set up like a fellowship or a crew at the end, which is definitely a type of storytelling device that I really enjoy. So I hope that what I think is going to happen, like, indeed happens, and they don't, you know, just immediately split up all the characters again. Because that would be quite annoying. But I thought they did a good job just kind of bringing all these various stories together at the very end to set up something exciting going forward.
Yeah, it'll kind of be annoying, but I mean, I'm sure Martin's consulting on season two, so it'll probably happen, right? Yeah, I enjoyed all of that, and like the train stuff, and just kind of, it was definitely confusing. I had to look up a map, be like, wait, what the fuck is there? Wait, where's the ocean? Why can't people get? I'm so confused. Like, it took a minute to kind of understand exactly what was going on. Like the reveal with the fold and stuff was decent. I still didn't quite understand, like, he was like going to steal her powers, and I don't know. I didn't understand what his agenda was exactly.
I think it's dumb that she can't just like clear the fold by the end. that doesn't make any sense to me. Besides the fact that like we need more story.
Yeah, I think that's probably why they had her like kind of debilitated by that heart render guy. I feel like that's probably their excuse for that.
Yeah. Luckily, they got, you know, I knew that mind control thing was coming, and luckily it went by fairly quickly to not annoy me as much as those things usually do. And yeah, there's like minor stuff in there, like what's the guy with the goat's name? Is it Jasper?
Jasper, yeah.
Yeah, his inability to shoot people in the head needs to fucking stop. Like, you can't give people abilities to then immediately nerf them.
He knows. He's like, I have to stop doing that.
like for fuck's sakes.
I definitely thought the crows personally were a highlight. I also actually really, I think the characters of Nina and Matthias have a lot of chemistry, although, and I know why they're in the story, but I did feel that if I didn't know why they were in the story, I would actually be super annoyed why we were spending a whole bunch of time on this boat and then with them walking in the wilderness.
Definitely the least interesting story, I thought.
Yeah, that's kind of like the most classic, like, meet cute of the set. But they are good characters, and I think they'll play nicely into everything else. Jenya and David were a big favorite of mine. They're a big favorite from the books, and I thought they did really well. They're just very cute and very funny, and I wanted much, much more of them, especially David. We did get quite a bit of Jenya, but yeah, I one of my big hopes for season two is that we see more of them and more of that relationship. There's some serious drama that is involved with them, but it's also kind of, their personalities are very important to the way that plays out, so I'm looking forward to that. The cape game was really strong, I gotta say.
Yeah. Just with Jenya and David, are they the gay heart render couple? Is that
no Jenya is the tailor who becomes Alina's confidant, and David
he's the tailor. Okay.
Yeah, he's the Durast, the guy in purple who is awkward and puts the collar on Alina.
Okay. Yeah, I do like the tailor. I thought she was great.
I liked the love triangle. Did quite enjoy it.
Ooh, say more.
I did quite like the setup for like Ben Van, and I don't remember the other guys. The conflict.
Oh, Mal. Yeah.
Mal, yeah. I felt like the Mal's romance was quite sweet. But I did quite like the idea of the dark, the romance sort of like messing that up. But obviously, like, he turned out to be evil, so I don't think that's going to be as big a conflict.
You know, I actually agree with Jack, like, that I thought this was done better than most.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the things that struck me about it is that the show is really not afraid to just kind of straight up ship Mal and Alina. And, like, they, I don't mean that in, like, the, in, like, they don't want you to like Alina and the Darkling, or Kerrigan, as he's called in the series. But I think they definitely lean toward, like, they spend a lot of time, like, getting into their heads on that relationship and, like, really making you understand why they're so bonded. Like, I was actually surprised when I watched it, because the books are a lot more subtle, actually. But I thought it was, yeah, I thought it was really effective.
I understood why they were so bonded, and I loved the relationship, but I also didn't understand what their reasons were for not just being open with their feelings. Just because they're young?
Drama.
Or just to have a plot point? I mean, I'm assuming it was that way in the books as well, that, like, there's this sort of pining and longing that isn't immediately satisfied, which is fine, but I just didn't get the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think, again, that's something different from the books. I sort of just attributed it to, like, this person's your best friend, and, you know, you don't necessarily know how to take that step. But yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. There is a certain amount of, like, I mean, and I guess the army keeps them apart a lot of the time, but there is a certain amount of, like, all right, just, you're literally on the same exact page. So, like, just, like, vocalize this. I have to say, the Darkling stuff, much as I love Ben Barnes, and I do love Ben Barnes, and as I said, his cape game is really, really, really strong. It was, at certain points, like, bordering on parody for me, because it's so, like, Istakov, like, just leaning in and, like, that classic brooding, like, sad hot guy, and that, like, and everybody did very well with it, but it was a little much for me. This could be my bias speaking.
Yeah, do you think part of it is because you knew who he was the whole time? Like, you knew that he was going to be, you know, instead of, like, you know, I don't know, because, like, initially you're like, oh, he's kind of this, like, you know, this bad guy, but then, oh, like, no, he's actually helping out, and, like, I don't know, like, it wasn't super obvious at first, and it came, and it's Ben Barnes.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
It was definitely super cheese.
Yeah, in my head, yeah. This is all just fantasy land of Westworld, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, like, I definitely think they have chemistry, and actually, I want to shout out Jessie Mae Lee, because I thought she was a really strong Alina. I thought that was it. She is kind of a classic young adult protagonist in the books, and I think that is really difficult to actually play well, and I thought she did a really good job. She was very, very human and kind of not relatable as much as just, like, you could imagine her being in every girl in this reality, as opposed to kind of somebody who always sort of had that specialness about them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It's always difficult to portray a character like this that is often written in, like, a vague way to let the audience, like, project themselves onto them. And so, like, when you're playing that, you kind of have to, you know, you have to zero in on specific characteristics to kind of, like, make that character your own. And yeah, I thought she did a real good job with it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that does bring up what Jock mentioned with some of the racist analogy that they tried to do with her, depending who you ask, successfully or very offensively unsuccessfully. I was kind of not really sure how to feel about that. I thought it was a very, I thought it was a good angle because in the book, Alina's just, Alina actually looks like the dancer that they have in the theater troupe, which I thought was actually a really fun shout out to like just the way things had changed from the book. And I did think it added to her character to have that, that extra, I guess, reality, in her life. But yeah, at the same time, it was very, I don't know, it was a lot. It was, and it was a lot, and it was like directly cribbed from our world. And I can certainly understand why people would not be appreciative of that. I don't know if anyone else has thoughts.
Yeah, that, no, not really.
Yeah, I don't really know enough on that to have thoughts. I mean, I don't know. It all seemed fine to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just like the timing, you know, of it, of recent rise and stuff. I can see that for sure.
Yeah, again, like I'm not, you know, certainly the right person to speak confidently on this.
Well, theoretically, I'm the right person to speak confidently on this, but I don't really have any input.
I'm not Leo either, but I feel like it was a bit of racist people or all bad one-off characters who just sort of appear. And it's sort of and like even the Queen's race, and it just sort of like glosses over that and doesn't really like this is a systematic culture.
Yeah. I mean, that's always, you know, one of the complicated things when you're presenting, again, like real world problems. In that, you know, it's easy to kind of simplify and show kind of the result as opposed to the system behind it. And I definitely agree. They didn't really lean into that. I mean, I would say like they had a lot to do, but you know, obviously everything's a choice when you make a show. So they chose what to pay attention to. I don't know if any listeners have thoughts, that would definitely be an interesting thing to let us know about on Vassals of Kingsgrave, either on our Discord or our website, bokpodcast.wordpress.com. I had some things that I really, really didn't like about the show, and I'm wondering if other people had things that they really didn't like about the show. For me, it was actually less the show itself and more of the craft of it, but they had this unbelievably irritating tendency to show flashbacks, not just to stuff that had happened in the show, but stuff that had happened in the same episode. And I don't know if that was like a script thing or if that was Netflix being like, nobody's going to remember this, put this in, you know, like that.
We gotta fill time.
Right. Exactly. It could have been a top down thing. But I felt really like talked down to, like, especially when, like,
no one watches TV shows directly anymore.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone else had that problem or any other problems. Yeah, let me know. What did you think?
There were definitely some issues with the way it was shot that I felt were confusing. I mean, the flashbacks are a little bit of that. That I was just like, wait, what's happening? Like, and I, like, a couple times I had to rewind and go like, oh, that's what they did there. Okay, you know. But I don't know. They spent a lot of money on the show. The costumes look good.
Yeah, so. The costumes did look good for sure. And most of the magic looked good. I was uncomfortably reminded of the Last Airbender movie at points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's also just hard to make magic like that look good on screen. And I think they did a respectable job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've come a long way. Even just since that movie, as far as like what you could do on a budget too, but I mean, sometimes I didn't really understand what people were doing, and then like, of course, some of these people like their powers are not really like anything. You know, it's like, you know, like some of them are super powerful, and then you're like, oh, they should just get together and rule everything. But it's like, well, no, like they're kind of like outcasts because like some of them have like really mundane abilities, you know.
Yeah. I guess the different approaches to Grisha throughout different cultures is interesting.
The testing thing, like, they want to, like, root them out, but then, I don't know. It didn't seem like they were, like, particularly dangerous for the world. I don't know. I mean, other than, you know, the dude that put up the wall, obviously. That's a problem.
Yes, the Darkling would be, yeah. Creating the fold would be a problem.
do the books explain more about these, like, beasts and... yeah, I mean, that bit was a bit complicated. I mean, I get why they did what they did. And it's like, you know, the person that kills it has to get the power, but then she didn't kill it, but it offered itself to her, and then, like, but this, like, this other dude gave his life to create these animals, and but no one's hunted them since, so how did they know they work? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, amplifiers was one of the things where I was like, ah! Too much information. Like, it felt like an extreme, like, you need it. It's fundamental to the story, but it felt like a real... You need,
like, Charlie from Always Sunny with his, like, board and, like... Yeah, okay, look. I gotta figure it out. Like, okay.
Yeah, it felt very Deus Ex. I knew it was coming, but, like, yeah, I don't really know how you do it less awkwardly, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's tough with the, you know, it's world building and you need it. And it's very difficult to put in there gracefully. I mean, I thought the scene with the stag was at the end, you know, was pretty effective. Fairly dramatic. I actually didn't remember exactly how that played out in the books. So I was interested to see that.
Yeah. And like when she, like, absorbed the antlers into her body, I thought that was pretty effective.
Yeah,
where I like that stuff. But yeah, it's honestly, I think that often comes when you start from such, like, a ground zero type place, and you kind of have to spread your magic out slowly. But when, you know, it can then be an awkward schism when you finally just jump full force into it.
Yeah, especially because, like, it was sort of transparent that was the only reason why the apparat was kind of in the story was to give these info dumps. And again, I'm not sure how you do that otherwise, but it did feel like, you know, he kind of just exits stage right once you no longer need that.
Not an inconsistency, but I thought, like, the Darkling's mother was the only interest. I would have liked to have spent more time with her, learn about her motivation.
Yeah, yeah. Bagra is a really cool character.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing I was going to say. Is like, what's the deal with her? And, like, they live long, but not all of them live long. And, like, how long are we talking?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. I think it's, like, similar to Harry Potter rules where wizards tend to live longer than muggles, but also it's not super consistent. But the Darkling is a particular case, I think, because he's been around for, like, centuries. And obviously Bagra has also, which is, I think, long term even for Grisha.
That's what they were implying, and he was saying that I mean, so, like, they both have the same power, and maybe that's got something to do with it, but then like, he was saying, well, the Sunseeker would also, you know, you're going to live as long as me, for, you know, for some reason. He's like, well, you're powerful, so, you know, you'll live forever, too. Like, how would he know that? I don't know. Because at one point, he's content to be like, well, she hates me, in 50 years she won't, you know, or something. You know, you're like, geez, playing the long game.
It might be like, yeah, I actually like that conversation. And we also get another goat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually thinking back to his flashback, and he even, like, the woman that he's with is, I guess, a healer or something, but he also, he says, like, you won't live that long. So I don't know. It might be just, like, the strength of their power that could be it.
Yeah, that was my sense of it. And yeah, like, honestly, it made sense to me that Alina would live just as long too. Like, that was just kind of a thing where I was like, yeah, that sounds right.
One thing that annoyed me on the crow's front,
I don't remember if this is as big of a thing in the books, but you have Inej, who's great, and they make a big deal about how she carries all these knives, but she doesn't kill anyone. And I'm a little bit like, why do you carry so many? I can understand maybe one knife just in case, maybe two, but like, why are knives your thing if you don't kill people? Like, that just didn't
I mean, you don't I was also the knife culture, I can't explain it to you.
Yeah.
I was also confused as to like whether or not she was a Grisha or whatever.
Right.
Like that's like the weird thing with like the crows, where it's just like they kind of seem to have powers, but like they're not the same as the other ones. I'm just kind of sitting here like
the fuck. He's a really accurate shooter.
Yeah, they're just normal, hyper competent teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun, you know, it's super fun. But yes,
they right, are. Yeah, I'm all for it. I just, yeah, I do like a little bit better defined abilities, you know, sometimes.
So not a bit of a young adult trope for just everyone to have power to explain.
This is probably, though, a good time to drop in what Silence wanted to tell us in the chat, which is that Jesper and the goat are the best full stop, which I certainly agree with. The goat is hilarious.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if that whole thing is not at all in the same tone as the rest of the show, like there's like the screaming shots when they're in the train, it's a great sequence. It's just not
leave the goat alone.
yeah, and then you have obviously like it contrasts a lot to me with the Alina stuff, which is very like everything's extremely important, you know, and like long lingering looks and portentous conversations, you know, and then you have the crows just screaming in the train and talking with goats and, you know, sabotaging circus players. The only other thing I can really think to ask is, two things. Does anyone feel particularly strongly about Team Malina versus Team Darklina? I don't know what they're calling it in the show now, but basically the, Mal and Alina ship versus the Kerrigan and Alina ship.
I like the Mal one. I feel like their romance is better. Like, this might just be because I'm heterosexual, so I'm just rating them based on the romance. But like, maybe not being heterosexual, Ben Barnes is just too irresistible.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really into it just because, like, it just seemed kind of boring to me. But, like, I mean, like, the whole dark and light contrast together. Like, I was kind of into that. I was, you know, it seemed like, I was like, this is probably not going to work out. But, you know, then he's, like, an asshole. So, you know, it's not great. But, maybe. It's certainly more exciting.
Darkling and Alina ship has gotten a lot of flack. I think justifiably in a certain way for being, like, you know, kind of inappropriate and very power imbalanced and all that, but at the same time, like, it's fiction, so who gives a shit? Like, I'm not, you know, I don't think that should influence people's feelings. I just always get a little bit like, he's much older than you and way more powerful and knows much more, and like even when you think he might be a good guy, it's just like, this is not equal. But again, that shouldn't stop anyone from shipping it, because this is fiction and these people are imaginary
child, basically. Yeah.
Felt myself as I was watching, I sort of felt what you were talking about, where it's like, oh, well, clearly they want me to be on the Malina boat, which I kind of was. And I think that's also just because if she goes the Darkling route, there's a part of me that thinks it would be really fun to watch both of them just sort of to watch her turn evil and then they both just take over the world. Like, that would be kind of entertaining. But I bow to the pressure of, you know, we should all be rooting for capital G good. So it's like, yeah, that makes me happy.
No, I definitely feel that. Like, they do have chemistry, and it would be interesting to kind of, like, what if she was like, oh, I see what you're doing with this being like a weapon so nobody will hurt us again. Like, I get that, you know. But yeah, I don't think that's kind of the
the moral implication of the show. Although, honestly, I could see them contemplating that in the second season. Again, I don't remember if they talk about this much in the book, but...
I mean, he's just that attractive that you would sort of consider it.
He is. I mean, that's true. Like, you can't argue with the good looks. Like, that is just incontrovertible. Honestly, like, it's just a very good-looking cast overall. The fact that Ben Barnes stands out so much is just, like, I think, a tribute to Ben Barnes.
No, it's so hot. Doesn't take away from cast anyone else. Prince Caspian, so.
Yeah. Any particular hopes for the second season? I've already mentioned Jenya and David, but I'm curious. I know a little bit more about what is probably coming. Although, again, they could definitely change their minds. Any particular hopes for people?
I just hope it comes soon. I don't usually do that. What's the word?
Anticipate.
No, where you sort of think, oh, this could happen, or that. Speculate. I don't speculate, Jen.
Yeah, I know that there is something about it that I was really like, I had quite a few problems with it when I finished it the first time, and I was like, I want more, though. Like, please, more. Yeah.
It had momentum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into the ending.
Yeah, where are the dragons? What are they going to show up?
The dragons are Volcra, and the Volcra are men.
No, that's creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah, that was dark. That was like
that was pretty dark. You know, turned a whole section of the country into dark slaves flying around and eating people. Like, except he didn't seem to control them until the end, right?
No, that seems to be a new manifestation of.
Like, why had he never thought to like? They're his creations. Like, why he'd been around hundreds of years. Shouldn't he have been able to at least control, you know, one or two of them or something? Or I don't know.
I think he was actually, like, genuinely afraid to go into the fold.
Because he knew it was a fuck-up, yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't know it was going to happen to that. And that was why he was so excited about Alina, that, like, he could use her to expand the fold, you know. I remember one thing that annoyed me. The very beginning of the show, when the crows get their mission and figure out, you know, they get the Heartrender to talk to Alexei and learn who Alina is. The guy kills Alexei and is like, we're now the only ones who know about this information. But the Heartrender is still right there. Like... who is apparently, we think, released back into Ketterdam and not, you know, I mean, she didn't seem like the brightest person in the world, but like still she does have that information. So that felt like a big thread, loose thread to me.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I did like in the finale, you know, he just. It's like, I gotta kill everyone. I gotta give this speech again now that I've killed
everyone.
Yeah,
that was funny.
It's like so inconvenient. It's like, ugh. The point is to leave them alive so they can crawl back home, but I guess not. Kill them all.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how Ivan's boyfriend reacts to. I forget his name. What is his name? Fyodor? I think his name is Fyodor. And I'm an idiot and didn't realize that they were a couple until the second time I watched.
Who is the subplot with the what was her name? The girl that like converted the dude and then he went to prison.
Oh, Nina.
Yeah. Nina, yeah. So that was like, I don't know. That felt like we got nothing and then it got rushed and I was very confused about all that. Poor guy. He was like ready to leave it behind. Then he's like, you're just an evil witch. Crying, so sad.
The course of true love.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, it's fine. You'll just like go to get a trial and be released. And they're like, that's not how it works. He's like, you fucked me. Oops. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's better than dead.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's her whole motivation, right? Like, she wants him to get arrested because otherwise the Grisha are going to kill him.
Should have kept that head on a swivel. She got surprised.
I'm interested to see more of that. I like the dynamic between them. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. I felt like it was like half a season, you know, like it ended in the middle of them doing something and you're like, shit. Like, there's like at least an episode or two more to go, so.
Right.
Sort of like, we're just like hanging here. I mean, I get the cliffhanger aspect of it and all, but like, I don't know. It felt like the last couple episodes, like the world building was just kind of starting to really get good and make sense. And then they were like, all right, see you later. And, you know, I don't know. There's so many shows coming out. Like, we'll forget about this and then it'll pop up in a year or two or whatever. Like it always does.
Yeah. This is the cycle, I think. But it did do well. I think a lot of people watched it, so. Hopefully.
Which doesn't necessarily matter these days. Like, Netflix is canceling. I mean, this, they ordered another season already, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, they did. Yeah. Although it took them a bit of time.
Because Netflix has been, it used to be they'd give everything two or three seasons, and they do a lot more cancellations now. But they also, like, what was it? Like, Jupiter's Legacy, they canceled after a couple weeks, and then, like, the next week it came out that it was, like, the highest rated streaming show for the whole month. So, you know, doesn't necessarily, eyeballs on the screen don't necessarily translate. I mean, there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff there, but it's interesting because they don't always release the numbers and it's hard to track. But I mean, I did hear people at work talking about this. So one of the doctors was trying to explain the plot to us, and I think most people were looking at him like, what's this nerd talking about? But, and it's funny because he's not that kind of a guy. But he's like, you know, it's just really, there's this Sunseeker thing. And he's like trying to explain it. I'm like, what is this show? What did I start watching that? What?
It is the kind of show that you can't explain without going, oh, and then like a million more times.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is totally fine. That is just what happens. All right. So I think that's going to wrap us up for now. If anyone wants to chime in, you can find us on the Vassals of Kingsgrave Discord, where we currently have a little chat thing for Shadow and Bone. So you can let us know what you feel about it. You can also find our episodes on vokpodcast.wordpress.com, right? That's it. And we're on Twitter and Facebook and dating apps. What was the
Rob? WeChat and
right. Of course, check out our TikTok. what would the Rovkin dating service dating app be, or the Grisha dating app?
Tinder.
Dark Link. I don't know.
That's it. There you go. And everyone's first match is with the Dark Link.
That's right. It's like Tom from MySpace. You're just automatically his friend.
Well, thank you everyone for joining me, and we will see you in further podcasts on the Vassals of Kingsgrave feed. No mourners, no funerals, as they say. Have a good one.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, bye. Mom.
Bonds.
I would really like another lady person on this.
Yeah, for sure. I thought there were more. I honestly thought there were gonna be more.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to talk a whole lot just because, like, you know, I'm
how do you feel about Alina and the Darkling, Matt?
Right, yeah, like I haven't read the books, like
I have complicated feelings.
I'm only minorly interested in the show. I was really just curious to see how people who read the books would react. I listened a little bit to Tara and John, you know, talk about it too.
I quite liked the love triangle. I was quite disappointed.
I just assumed it's just going to be like the Ben Barnes podcast.
Ben Barnes!
edit out the silences. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but when you talk like that, it doesn't work.